Last night I had a really fun conversation with Abraham Partridge and TJ Scruggs of the Psychedelic Peacocks. And we played some music in preparation for our shows this weekend, which I'm going to go ahead and mention now because it's a short podcast relatively to other stuff we've done. It's only clocks in at 30 minutes, but we don't start talking about the shows until, with a little bit more detail, until a little bit into the show. So I'll just state it here. The listening room Friday night starts at 8 p.m. I'll be opening up with an original set, be selling the new CDs there. And then after me, Abe's going to do a short solo set, which I love his solo sets. I think they're really unique and I almost killed myself there. Really unique, and I had my phone in the visor, and then I made a turn and it slid out as I was merging into traffic, and I almost killed myself there. So Abe's stuff is really cool, and then takes it up to a whole different level when he brings out the Psychedelic Peacocks. And that's, you know, like I said, TJ, Dave Garrett, Robbie Amonette, and it's just a really, really cool, interesting group. And they really know how to kick it up to 11. So they'll be playing. We're all going to be doing it there, the listening room. And then the next day, me and Abe are going to go down to the Blues Tavern in Mobile and do a blues competition. So more original works in hopes of making a finalist and going to Memphis, I think January, for a 5-day continuation, somewhere around about that, with bands from all over the world. And there's another songwriters competition that also may be a thing for me and possibly Abe as well in the near future. So I'll keep you posted on that. So that's it. So let's get into the conversation. This is Coastal Noise Podcast with Abraham Partridge and TJ Scruggs of the Psychedelic Peacocks.
Good job, son. Little punch on the shoulder.
So you guys have been pretty busy.
Yeah, I have been very busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We play a couple of shows a month as a band, and then solo, I do stuff. I'm really busy solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last weekend was really busy.
Yeah, last weekend I went to Valdosta, Georgia, and Savannah.
Yeah, I recently went to Savannah too. It was about a year ago, last September. I read, have you read In the Garden of Good and Evil?
No.
It's a book that was, I want to say it was one of the longest running New York Times bestsellers. And it's based in Savannah, Georgia, based off a true story. It's a murder mystery of this writer from New York who goes down and lives in Savannah. He like falls in love with the charm of it all and all this
kind
of stuff.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I had a family reunion that I couldn't make, and that they held it in Savannah. So it wasn't until after the reunion that I found the book, and I read it, and loved the book. I mean, it's one of the few books in recent memory that it was more than just the main character and the main characters that were like a major key to the, it was like everybody, the whole culture, everybody he, you know, meets. Because most of the story, like the first half of it or so, is just his account of being there and all these eccentric and interesting characters he finds himself bumping elbows with. And then this prominent figure, rich guy, finds out he ends up killing a boy that was killing him, but they can't tell if it was self-defense or if it was murder, if it was all getting twisted around. It was just a really good book. And the way he described it, being a journalist as he was, it was just, I loved it. I loved the book. And I thought it really captured that southern charm of it all. So after that, I was like, man, I can't believe I didn't go to Savannah. So I made a special trip. I had some friends in Charleston who were living in Charleston, so I went down and stayed with them. And then I think Savannah's like an hour and a half away, so yeah. I drove down there one day and just got out of my car and just walked around just all day, randomly going about places. And there's like a cemetery in the book where they do voodoo. There's like a Jamaican lady who brings the guy down there and does voodoo and stuff. So I went around there. And
did you find the lady doing voodoo?
I didn't. No. I was disappointed.
Dang.
You know?
It's too bad.
Yeah, but it did make some for some excellent photography. I've got a blog out on it of my trip to St. Charles and or Charleston and Savannah. But yeah, great pictures. I brought my DSLR all around with me, and just got all kinds of cool stuff. Really cool place.
Yeah, man.
What was the competition like?
It wasn't a competition. It was a songwriter series that they have there. They have it once a month. It's called the Savannah Songwriter Series, and it's actually on Tybee Island, which is like a little offshoot, the coast over there is all islands, and a lot of little tiny islands. And, and it was just right down the road from their beach,
And are you aware of like the nuclear activity that's associated with Tybee Island? There's something to do with the war. There's like some nuclear bombs or something that was in the water that they're not sure if they've
accounted. Thanks for telling me, man. That, no, I didn't know.
I'm not sure. If they, yeah, well, my family went. Some of them went down there, and it wasn't until afterwards that I looked into it. You should look into it sometimes. I can't remember the details. I know there's some nuclear radiation stuff involved or something, but.
I was wondering why I have this finger growing out of the back of my head.
Note to self, don't go to Tybee Island.
Yeah. No, it was really cool, man. It was there were three local songwriters from Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have one out-of-town guy every month. They do it once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to be the one out-of-town guy, you know. And it was an old theater they had it in called the Tybee Post Theater. And it was... it was super. Mm-hmm. One of the best shows I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, man, it was super. Got to meet a whole lot of, I caught the travel bug, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Going out and playing to new crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's nice to see the reaction from people, you know?
Yeah, it's way cooler playing for somebody the first time than it is the fifth time, you know? But, I mean, I enjoy playing whenever I get a chance to play, but it's really cool to be able to play for somebody the first time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, they treated me like I was Elvis or something, you know. It was like just treated me like I was some kind of rock star or something. Little did they know, you know. But I had a great trip. And the weekend before that, I was at the Highway 80 Songwriter Festival. And Meridian, I got to play with some really good songwriters, and we played three different venues in one night. It was a heck of a time. Got to go to a songwriting class and everything. But anyway, yeah, that about sums up what I've been doing lately. We. Just trying to, put together a lot more shows for the Peacocks, you know.
Mm-hmm. The Psychedelic Peacocks.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we got the show this Saturday or this Friday night, and we got a show at the Juke Joint on September the 16th. And Sonic Graffiti is going to be opening for us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a powerhouse.
Which I would recommend to anybody to check out. They're definitely. Their art style, their sound, it's unique stuff. So
yeah. Yeah, man, I say they're the greatest rock and roll band in the world.
Really?
I'm really
high praise.
Yeah, that is. I mean, right now, in my opinion, they're the best. But
Sonic Graffiti and Black Titan are probably the best.
He was telling me about Black Titan.
Yeah, they are awesome. Yeah. Best two rock shows I've seen in years.
Yeah.
Really?
Years.
Yeah. Easy. Man. So we're going to bring it to Ocean Springs twice.
Yeah.
September the 16th and August the 18th. We're going to be at the Julep Room.
Black Titan's going to be at one of those shows?
No, Sonic Graffiti. Black Titan. We haven't really done much with Black Titan as far as our band.
Are they around here?
They're in Mobile. They're based in Mobile. Yeah, killer guys, man. Friends with their drummer Clay. He's has been real gracious and helpful to me and our setting us up shows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're definitely worth checking out.
Nice. I'm gonna look into them.
Killer live show. I'm telling you, one of the best live shows going.
Yeah, I think they got a couple CDs on iTunes.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Bandcamp or something like that.
Sonic Graffiti. How long they've been active?
They've been active for quite a while, and actually, I run a little record label called Alabama Astronaut, and we're putting out. I put out their record. I put out their 7-inch record. It was an EP. It had 4 songs on it. I put it out about a year ago, and right now, I'm helping them release their full length LP. Right now, it's getting pressed in Kentucky at Palomino Records as we speak. So,
wow.
Yeah, should be out in like January or February or something.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah, so they're going to be coming through. I'm going to play some shows with them solo, and then the Psychedelic Peacocks and them are sharing the bill in September.
Nice.
Yeah, we're looking really forward to it. Got a lot of exciting shows coming up, mm-hmm. man.
And I guess we should say the Blues Tavern as well this Saturday.
The Blues Tavern. We got the Blues Tavern International Blues Competition, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% certain what it's called, but we can edit that part out. I don't really know.
It's the Blues Tavern in Mobile.
Yeah.
It starts at 12, and then I think I don't know if it's one or like two, three people.
I think one of the solo performers and then one of the band get to go to Memphis and compete in a worldwide stage.
Yeah, like a 5-day continuation.
Yeah, it'd be really cool for whoever wins. And Stefan and I are playing in the solo portion of it. Not together.
No rivalry there?
It's too independent. Oh, no rivalry.
Just inspiration.
No rivalry.
From my point of view.
Yeah, definitely. There's no rivalries to be had. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't really call my stuff blues, but I've had the blues a lot, so, you know. I write about having the blues. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, the way I look at it, so much of music stems and comes from the blues.
Oh, yeah,
so,
man. Everything that's cool about music comes from the blues. Like, the only part of rock and roll that's cool is the blues. The only part of jazz that's cool is the blues. The only part of folk music that's cool is the blues. You know, it's kind of like the ingredient that makes everything cool.
Yeah.
In my opinion, without, you know, you got like, I don't know, Beethoven or something, you know. I mean,
don't knock it.
I mean, hey, I'm not knocking it. I just don't get it. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I just don't get it. There's nothing cool about it. Now, you may like it, but you can't say that that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Well, maybe you don't know what I'm saying. That's Abe's skewed opinion about it.
No, I get it, man.
I think it has to have blues in order to be cool, but that's just my own weird opinion that I don't even know how I derived, but I've never really thought it through either.
Can't be too bright, can't be too happy.
Yeah,
or else it's
you know, it has to have those blues notes, man. You know what I'm saying? Music without blues notes in it, which I don't really know all that much about musical
theory.
Theory, but I know when I hear blues is different than when I hear other stuff.
Yeah, it's unmistakable. Mm-hmm.
So you can hear a note and it'll make you feel a certain way, and that's when it's the blues. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything else is like, oh, it's just a big puzzle, and then you got that one note that makes you feel a certain way. That's the blues in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way as a self-taught guitarist. I mean, I've never taken any lessons or anything like that,
yeah,
you know,
neither.
Formally. And growing up, it was classic rock. You know, and at the time I had no association with that in the blues. I didn't even really, you know, mm-hmm. know much of anything, the blues. And then picked up the guitar when I was like 15, started playing around, and then I would hear things like Ball and Biscuit the Keys play this and that, or I'd hear something from a classic rock era play something and then knowing a little bit more over the years of playing it, those things started striking me more so than anything else. And I didn't understand why, but I started falling in love with that area and started going to that. And then the deeper I got, the more I understood the connections that all these songs were having. And then then I really started to discover the blues. Started going back to the older stuff, and then then it all starts coming together. Yeah. And you realize rock and roll is the child of the blues.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah, as you just described my awakening to it all too, man. Mm-hmm. That's it to a T. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you got like I dug back to like Sun House and Skip James and Robert Johnson, all those guys. I mean, there was a couple of years of my life where that's all I listened to was old mm-hmm. Delta blues artists. And mm-hmm. it took a while for me to branch off into like Chicago stuff, like like Muddy Waters and all that stuff. I didn't even mm-hmm. Really. I just was stuck on that for a long time. But yeah, that I understood. I saw it too. That there is no rock and roll without blues. Mm-hmm. It took America to get all those cultures combined. Mm-hmm. That brought their cultural backgrounds and white music and black music mixed up makes rock and roll.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And then you have that realization, and then you go back and you listen to things like Led Zeppelin 1, and you're like, this is a blues album.
Dude, they were rip-off artists, and I love Led Zeppelin, but I mean,
If you really look into that, like, so much of their material is...
Yeah, and a lot of stuff that says, like, Page and Plant, like, they're notated as the authors. Come mm-hmm. on, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're great. I loved them.
Right.
And their arrangement was totally new. And,
right. Their sound, the way they did production, Jimmy Page, I think he like pioneered the idea of like distance sound recording where you could mic the instrument up close, but then also have a mic a certain distance away so that you mm-hmm. got the note from both ends and then take the balance of it together,
Dude, I feel like Zeppelin I think all four of those guys were geniuses. Mm-hmm. They were all like mm-hmm. masters of their craft. And I love Zeppelin. But yeah, that was all that was just electrified blues music. Mm-hmm. Sun House probably would have played the same stuff if he would have had electricity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Electricity and amplifiers and whatnot. And distortion pedals.
That's arguable, though, too, because, I mean, definitely on the tone and volume side of it, but there is a point of me, after listening to so much traditional blues, of where you start noticing, like, it's so much of the same structures, keys and all that kind of stuff, and very similar things. You get that a lot with like mainstream country too. Country's real bad with it. Or if you go back and like listen to good country like Hank Williams, it's still you can snap your finger to it and Move It On Over is the same as this song over here.
Yeah,
12 tracks later, it's just different.
Yeah, not exactly.
And
yeah,
that kind of stuff. But it's still great. For what it is. They were just following formulas, and it also works within parameters of what they knew at the time, and probably what was selling. There's still business element to it, I'm sure.
No doubt.
Still, not knocking it, because the business aspect of it now is way more, shall we say, unfortunate. Like country music now is just pandering. I saw a great Bo Burnham, the stand-up
comedian. I saw it. Rural adjectives. It really is. It's a sad thing.
And rock and roll, I mean, I don't even know where that hardly stands now.
There is rock and roll out there, but nobody knows, like, you can't find it unless you're, I mean, not here, I know there's a big scene in the West Coast, mm-hmm. and I mean, there's a scene in Mobile, it's not big, there's a scene in mm-hmm. New Orleans, it's not all that big, but mm-hmm. They're just not getting they're not getting money thrown at them, like they were in the 80s and 90s.
Same thing with the country scene right now. You got your radio country and you got your real country, and you got your radio rock and your real rock, and you got to go out to the little bars and dives to find it.
Yeah, but I still feel like country has more, they get more room for it. I feel like rock and roll and rock in general right now is even, like, they're even more boxed in to their parameter.
The kids are...
As far as radio goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of the kids are not, you know, whenever I was growing up, all the kids were into rock and roll, you know, when I was in high school. And now it seems like the electronic and all that kind of music has really taken a large share of the
club synthesizers, music.
Yeah.
Computer generated pre-recordings and
techno or EDM and all that.
Yeah. I mean, things come around and I just don't understand. Like when dubstep came around and people were losing their minds passing out on E and stuff like that, like I was like, I don't get it. Like you.
Yeah, nor do I.
I want to go deaf from music as much as any music loving band, but not with this.
Yeah.
But and then look, where's it now? Who's talking about dubstep?
Yeah.
Nobody. You know. And I want to go back and like shake all my college peers and the high schoolers and been like, come on. But nobody thinks about that though, you know? They're just like, oh, it's on to the next thing. It's not like an overall scope of consciousness that we're trying to better ourselves and better our tastes and
not even close.
And supporting what's good and getting rid of what's bad. It's just mindless kind of like on to the next one, you know, the same way that people watch, you know, binge watch shitty television is the same way that people go through music. And
it's the reason there's a McDonald's on every street, man. You know, most people are just going to eat Big Macs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's always been music lovers and there always will be, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll ain't going nowhere. If you look at that West Coast scene, man, it make you want to move out there. You looked at him like the OCs and Ty Siegel and all, you know, all those guys out there and Burger Records and all that stuff. You heard about?
No. If you keep saying names, I'll go back and listen and write them down and go search them out, because trust me, I'm looking.
Man, I'll throw some names out there. You heard the Parquet Courts?
I have. I listened to a couple of their stuff.
Killer.
Okay.
Paperhead. Oh, there's a band called White Fence. There's a band out of Memphis right now, Girls, called Knots, capital N, capital O, capital T, capital S.
Mm-hmm.
One of the killer live show, man.
Okay.
Nuts. But they're Knots. They're called Knots, but the show is crazy. But, man, shoot, about anything on Burger Records is great. Shannon and the Clams.
Okay.
They're out of Fullerton, California. They're a cassette tape label. The kids over there buy cassette tapes, I guess, but they put out so much music on cassette. But yeah, it seems over there is like really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes you want to move. But I mean, that's really the only thing that would be appealing to me about moving to California. but still, it'd be big enough of it. I'm in a position where I can. I'm kind of stuck in Mobile, you know, like the Dylan song. But I'm kind of stuck in Mobile. But yeah, there's a lot of rock and roll out there. It's just they're not going to put it on the radio.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess.
But nobody who discovers music on the radio anymore. Not me. I don't even listen to the radio.
I haven't listened to the radio in probably 6 years.
Exactly, man. The radio is freaking irrelevant, man. It's like a dinosaur waiting to die.
It's still here though, which means people are supporting it.
Oh yeah, it's gonna die away with the older generation that still listens, man. I mean, you know, and there's so many ways to get to find and discover music now. You know, it's out there. You gotta dig. Unfortunately, it's not gonna just be force fed into your ears. You know,
mm-hmm.
like it used to be. Mm-hmm. You know. I was growing up.
But the thing is a lot of people don't want to dig. They ain't got time. They got a job. They got kids. They got responsibilities, you know.
Yep.
They're just trying to get by. And, I mean, doing the research, because we also have an oversaturation due to the internet, that anybody can make music, anybody can put it out there. So we have it's tough, you know.
Yeah,
you got to get in there, and it's like finding a needle in a haystack. And then just by dumb luck, you'll find stuff. Like, I was looking for bass drums or something like that on online recently.
Yeah, the bass drum of death. Bass drum of death, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Out of Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah, you found them.
I found them.
Yeah, by looking up bass drums.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was just looking around, and I started listening. I was like, this is awesome, man. Yeah, and then I was like, Fat Possum Records, what?
Yeah, Fat Possum.
And now they're touring internationally and stuff. I don't know if they're on hiatus now or whatever, but I was like, dang. Okay, then.
Yeah, man, they're killer.
I like want to find them and talk to them now, you know? So. But bass drum of death.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dylan earlier. Isn't there a correlation with you?
No. No, we don't need to talk about that right
now. No, that's taboo.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah.
What about he's
at playing? I'll tell you about that in a little bit.
He's playing at the Singer Theater.
Yeah, he is playing at the Singer Theater. Okay. Yeah, in November.
Right on.
Yeah, really looking forward to that show, man.
Dylan is a guy that his catalog is so big and expansive that I'm almost I don't know where to start. You know,
well, I'll tell you where I started, and really, it's the best in my opinion. Is like the first five or six records.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the best. I mean, in my opinion, you know, you don't you may find that his stuff in the 70s was better, but like I think like the Free Will and Bob Dylan and Blonde on Blonde and like Rolling Stone. What was the man? There's all the way up to like Nashville Skyline are good in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The ones after that, I'm not so high on, but I mean. I am high on them, like, lyrically, but, you know how sound went in the 70s. And,
right.
You know, it started getting a little bit overproduced, in my opinion.
In the 70s?
Late 70s.
Yeah.
But everything before that, man. But those first four or five albums are, like, some of my favorite albums ever. Really good. Really, Blonde on Blonde is the one that's the one.
That's what I hear most of.
Yeah, man. And, really, I love that record. But, yeah, I'm stoked to see him in November at the Sanger. And then John Prine's coming in December.
I've been hearing his name a lot, too, John Prine.
Yeah, John Prine is, he's like a songwriter, you know. Not really a big commercial writer, but he's one of my major influences as a songwriter. It's John mm-hmm. Prine, and Bob Dylan, and Townes Van Zandt are like my big three. But yeah, John Prine's still alive and kicking, and he's got a band and coming to the Sanger. It's gonna be cool. Sanger's been getting some good folks in lately. I saw Robert Plant there. We were just talking about Led Zeppelin.
Was he there with Band of Joy, or was it?
He was there with Band of Joy, but it was a couple years ago. This past one, I can't remember what he called his band. I really can't remember, but it was awesome.
Some sort of Rainbow Flower Children of the Grave or something.
Dude, yeah, well, they're just all pros, man.
Yeah.
And then he had this one guy that was like he was an African guy. And he was playing this weird, like, native African instrument with a bow. And it looked like the thing was made out of a gourd or something. You know, mm-hmm. It was like a really old traditional thing. And mm-hmm. He would feature him occasionally. It was nuts, man. Killer show. But yeah, it's amazing that he still has that voice at that age. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, fellas, you wanna make some noise? All this talk of it's got me kind of amped up to do something about it. So, all right, folks. Well, we're signing off. So, Mobile Friday night, the listening room, Jim Pennington's listening room. I'll be open up for you. Thank you so much for asking me to do it. I've been pumped all week for it. And then Abe will do. You're gonna do a solo set. Is that correct?
That's right.
Cool. And then Psychedelic Peacocks will go on. And then after that, the following day, the Blues Tavern. We have no idea what the name of the competition is, but we're damn sure it's going on.
Yeah, 12 p.m.
starts, and it'll go all day. And I think there's like a dozen bands or so, and me and Abel both being that. So, but check them out. Like they say, they've got a lot going on, so you can follow along. And I've got all my dates up on Coast of Noise, stephanlawsonmusic.com. So we're going to go play some music now and get ready for you guys. So signing off.